Right. Yeah, we start them out young. So happy Mother's Day again. Super excited to see everybody here today. So I got a big revelation for you. I am not a mom. I know that's pretty shocking. I get it. But I say that because I definitely do not feel qualified to tell moms how to mother on Mother's Day. So I'm not going to do that. Furthermore, Mother's Day can be a very, very sensitive day for some people. Not everyone has had a great relationship with their mom. Not every woman is a mom or has struggled to become a mom. Some moms have lost their children, and a lot of children have lost their moms. So it's one of those days that needs to be approached with sensitivity, and that's what I want to do today. But with all that said, I'm simply going to share what the Bible says about God's call on our lives through the lives of some women in the Bible. Is that fair enough? We're going to do that today. Okay. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to put you on a guilt trip through Proverbs 31. Okay, we're not going to do that today. But I do want to begin with Paul's words. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. And Paul says something to Timothy that is very, very, it transcends time. It's immortalized in Scripture, and it's a powerful, powerful statement. And he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your mother grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for this day. We do thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you do in our lives. We thank you for the moms and the women in our faith family here. I ask that you would lay a hand of blessing upon them. Father, for those who could not make it today, I ask that you would bless them as well. We love you and cherish you. Come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the key term in here is, and I've got some underlining stuff up there, but sincere faith. And that word, sincere faith, it's a Greek word that means real, authentic, transforming faith. See, faith is not just a concept. Faith is something that transforms us, that makes us different, okay? And it's a faith that we all strive for. And I've got kind of a one-line definition for sincere faith. What these women did, they demonstrated a courageous faith that makes an impact and transforms lives. When you think about faith and what it's supposed to do in us, faith in God is not just, yeah, I believe that there's a God. I believe that he created everything, and that's good and fine and well. Faith does something to us. Faith moves in us. Faith transforms us. It impacts us. And these women, they left an enduring legacy because of their sincere faith, okay? Many people are confused about who they are and what their worth is and how they fit in this world. And it's caused a lot of people to try to validate or seek validation from what they do rather than who they are, okay? And we gotta be very, very careful about that because we have two women here who were giants in the lives of Timothy, Paul, the early church, and to this day, not because of what they were doing, but because of who they were, because they were children of God, because they had an identity in Christ that was transformed into a or represent itself as a sincere faith. Okay, does that make sense from what we see in Scripture? Faith is not just, yeah, I believe that there was a God. Faith is so much deeper, so much more. It moves and transforms us, okay? And the question is, what made them that way? We got two women, okay? Lois and Eunice, and we don't have a lot said about them in Scripture, but this statement alone says a lot about them. And we got to wonder what made them that way. How did they make such a difference in the lives of others? And the truth is, we have a God that has given us identities and values, God-given. A few verses later, I think, kind of attaches some meaning to this. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says that God saved us and called us to a holy calling. You're a mom, you're a grandma, you're an aunt, you're a sister, you're a father, you're a brother, you're a son, whatever, you're a child of God, God has placed a holy calling on your life, no matter what, okay? And that's really the biggest difference here. This word holy calling comes from a Greek word, hagios, and it means pure, sacred, consecrated, separated, set apart for a purpose, okay? And it's a calling that originates with God the Father, is purchased by Jesus, and given to us by the Holy Spirit. That's the calling. That's the faith that God has called us to live out for the rest of the world to see. Okay? It's described elsewhere in the Bible. It's described in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, where he says, I press toward a mark for the high calling of God, the high calling from God. We see it in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It's and it's called a heavenly calling. Ephesians 3:11 calls it an eternal purpose. So this calling is from God. It's placed on all of us, whether you're a mom, dad, brother, sister, you know, whatever the case may be. And this is what drove these two women to make such an impact in the lives of others. Okay? And I kind of want to just talk about that just for a few moments today. We don't hear anything else about these two ladies later on, yet this statement about their sincere faith is immortalized in Scripture forever. It's one of the greatest acknowledgments of faith in all the Bible. And the reason it is because it wasn't just saying, okay, you're a faithful person, or you have a lot of faith. It's saying, Timothy, you've got this sincere faith, but it came from somewhere. It came from an example from your mother and from your grandmother, and it has transformed you. It has changed you. Remember, Timothy had a dad who was a Greek. He wasn't a believer, so he wasn't getting that sincere faith from him. He got it from his mother and his grandmother, and that's huge. Now, we have examples of giants of sincere faith in the Bible, and you can follow along in your notes. And we're not gonna be very long today. We're gonna kind of touch on this. I want to be able to get you guys back to your families, but I want, as a faith family, I want to see what does a sincere faith do in our lives. And what I've done was I picked out some ladies to help us to understand that. So the first one would be Deborah. Deborah demonstrated an impacting faith. Okay, so Judges chapter 4, verse 14 says this. Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. I love the way this is worded. Hey, Barak, get off your lazy backside and do what God called you to do. Now, that might be my embellishment a little bit. That's the you know, that might not be exactly how it's worded in Scripture. But she's like, Barak, don't you remember what God has called you to do? Don't you remember what God has equipped you to do? Don't you remember why we're here? Embrace that. She impacted this general to step into his calling of God on his life. It's amazing. And what was that calling? It was to defend Israel against Syria and this general, Sisera. And so just to kind of give you a little bit of background, it was a daunting task because 20 years earlier, the Hebrews were disarmed, okay? If you read through Judges, you know that 20 years earlier, all their weapons were taken away. So they had to make these makeshift weapons out of plows and just different farm equipment and that kind of thing. And they were going up against Sisera. Sisera was one of the most vicious and successful generals of all history. He had 900 iron chariots. An iron chariot back then is the equivalent of an Israeli battle tank today. And here, we're Israel, and we're going to battle, and we're going to go up against some tanks, 900 of them. And what we're going to do is I'm going to say, hey, everybody, go into your sheds and your garage at home. Grab whatever you can, and let's go fight. That's what's happening here. Is it any wonder that Barak was a little concerned about stepping up and going forth? You know, sometimes we look at people in Scripture and we get very, very non-grace oriented. We're like, oh, Sisera, he should have just done it. Didn't God call him? He did, but look at what he's facing. But Deborah comes along and encourages him because her faith in God is like, you can't do this, Barak, of course. I can't do this, but God has called us and he's going out before us. And that faith impacted this general. And of course, they went out and they won. She had a sincere faith. And I want to translate that today to right now. God has placed within each of us an amazing capacity to impact and influence for his kingdom through our faith in Christ. As we're walking in Christ, whether you're a mom, dad, sister, brother, whatever, as we're walking in Christ and walking by faith, it's going to encourage the people around us. They're going to see God through our actions. They're going to see God through what we're doing, how we're walking, our confidence in what he's capable of doing. And that's the sincere faith that we can exhibit, just like Deborah. So if you ever feel like, sometimes, you know, especially as we get older, maybe we have children and the children grow and they need us a lot at a certain time. Then they get to a point where, you know, they kind of don't. And we kind of think, okay, you know, so where am I? You know, I was a dad, I was a mom, I was, you know, and we take so much identity out of that. And I'm doing this on purpose, because that's not just who you are. You're a child of God, and that never changes. So if you ever wonder, is what I'm doing worth it? How many of you have tried to lead a child, one of your children, in a certain way, and they completely did the opposite of what you wanted them to do? How many of you have ever been there? Okay, yes. Sometimes we're like, what is wrong with me? Usually we start out with, what is wrong with them, right? And then, we end up doing some self-reflection. We're like, is what I'm saying just bouncing off the wall? Is what I'm saying matter? Is what I'm doing matter? I want to tell you, it absolutely matters. Walking by faith makes an impact. Barak knew the Lord. He was ready to fight, but he was holding back, and it took somebody to remind him, to show him God is powerful enough to take care of this. And like Deborah, we can echo Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, it's not, I could do all things because I'm Superman. I could do all things because I'm Superwoman. I could do all things because I'm capable. I can do all things because, I am who I am. No, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's him. It's our faith in him. It's his power that works in and through us. And she reminded Barak about that. Another example of a giant of sincere faith is Esther. Okay, so let me give you a quick little bit of background. Remember, Israel right now is under occupation at the very least, but under captivity more likely. Okay, and Esther is in Susan, and she's under this totalitarian regime. King Xerxes is not a good guy, and there's a bad guy involved. His name is Haman. And he's trying to eliminate all the Jews. He's trying to eliminate all of God's people. You got Mordecai. Mordecai is Esther's cousin. And, you know, Mordecai kind of is this guy of faith, and he stirs Esther's faith, who then walks by faith and makes an impact. Okay, that's kind of the background here. Esther demonstrated a courageous faith. A courageous faith, okay? Take a look at Esther 4, 14 through 16. One of the most well-known verses, passages in all of Scripture. It says, for if you keep silent at this time, so Mordecai's talking to Esther, telling her, we're going to be exterminated unless somebody does something and you're in a position to do it. What was wrong with her position by that? She was queen, So she, you know, you think, oh, a queen has a lot of, but what was the big issue about Esther going before the king? Anybody remember? You couldn't go before the king unless the king called for you. If you did, and he didn't extend his scepter, you were killed. That's kind of a big deal, okay? So what is good old cousin Mordecai, what does he say? He says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. His faith was super strong. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, to go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I love reading about courageous heroes and warrior, mighty warriors who face insurmountable odds, but push through and do it. I often, you know, growing up, I would read stories about King Arthur and Conan the Barbarian, all these mighty warriors and fighting dragons and armies, and I used to love that. I still kind of do. When I think of a warrior, I don't typically think of a teenager who won a beauty pageant. But that's what she was. You see, the king kicked his queen out. He holds this big, the country holds this big beauty pageant of, and lines up all the women that are of age, which were teenagers and probably into their low 20s. And he goes down the line, no, definitely not. Yeah, all right, you're the new queen. Out of the blue. So she's in this position because she won a beauty pageant. But she's not in that position because she won a beauty pageant, is she? She's in that position for such a time as this, because God put her in that position. And she was more than a beauty pageant winner, okay? She was somebody that God had called and equipped to save an entire nation, okay? This is the courage that she exhibits, all right? And Esther was one thing. And then God reminded her of who he created her to be, and she steps up and makes this statement. I mean, can you imagine a more courageous statement than, yeah, I'll confront the king, and if I die, I die? Can you imagine a more courageous statement than that? Yeah, my people are in trouble. I'll go to the king. And if he kills me, so be it. That's crazy, over-the-top courage. Now, Esther wasn't a mother at this point in time in the Bible, and yet her courageous led a king and saved people. She, this little girl, this young girl, pulled out of the crowd, basically, from a different nation. No pedigree, no power, no money, no any. She gets brought into this position, and she literally leads a king and saves a nation through her actions. That's courage. That's incredible courage. She was given a divine purpose. She surrendered to how God worked in and through her. Remember Paul's words in Ephesians 3:20. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God did in Esther the unimaginable. The unimagined. That's what this verse is basically telling us. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, whatever you think God is capable of in your life, you haven't even begun to scratch the surface. Whatever you think God has planned for you and for your life, you haven't even begun to know the limits or the unlimits of his power and what he can actually literally do through somebody who says, all right, Lord, whatever you want, I'm yours. That's what she's saying. Whatever you want, Lord, I'm yours. So her courage wasn't in her strength, her power, her intellect, her beauty, her anything. Her strength was, that's what God wants me to do. That's what I'm going to do. He is capable. That is power. And don't let the world steal your power. Don't let the world convince you that you can't do what God has called you to do. I can't tell you how many people have told me, God wants me to do X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, time goes by, and I'm like, how's it going? Well, you know, it was too ambitious. It was too much. There is no such thing with God. God is capable of doing whatever he wants to do in and through your life to make a difference, to make an impact. So I'm going to ask you a question. You don't know, show of hands, just think about this question. Have you ever felt like a complete and utter failure? Think about that for a second. Sometime in your life, maybe your life has had little to no effect. If you have, chances are you have. Most people have at one point in life been like, I just can't seem to do anything right. You ever look in the mirror and say, I just can't seem to do anything right? If that is you, don't believe it. God loves you. God has called you. God has empowered you to make a difference in this world. He didn't save you and empower you and fill you with his Holy Spirit and give you his divine word just to quickly take you to heaven. If he did, none of us would be here, right? If we got saved and God said, okay, done deal, let's go. That would be one thing, but he didn't. We're still here. Every day we wake up, and every day we wake up into God's future plan for us. And it's going to take, you know, some courage, some faith, some sincere faith. And you know, if you feel like you have failed, if you feel like you have, your life has had little to no effect at times, don't believe it. Don't believe it. These women, Lois and Eunice, did they conquer armies? Help me out here. Did they conquer any? Timothy's mother and grandmother, do we have any record of them conquering armies, creating kingdoms, performing miracles? Do we have any record of that? None at all. Do we have any record of them planting churches like Paul or going on missionary journeys like Timothy? Do we have any record of that at all? None. Zero. Do we have any record of them facing off against insurmountable odds and pushing through? We have no record of that. Yet they impacted Timothy and Paul and everybody else in the first church and our church today by living a sincere faith. Don't ever think that your life is not worth it, that your life is nothing but a failure. God is able, ready, willing to do whatever he wants in a surrendered heart. And that could be any one of us and all of us. Okay? So I know neither Deborah nor Esther were mothers at the time that we were looking at them. You're thinking, hey, I thought, you know, you're going to talk a little bit about Mother's Day and moms and everything. It doesn't matter because, you know, it's about what God can do in the life of anybody. But don't worry, our next example was a mom, and the most famous mom in all history. Anybody know who the most famous mom in all of history was? Wow, you guys didn't even hesitate. Yeah, and you guys all agreed at the same time. Yeah, it's Mary. And Mary demonstrated a transforming faith. And we're going to kind of close on this. Luke 1:28. Again, Mary, probably a teenager. We don't know exactly when. I know people like to speculate. Well, she had to have been 16 or she had to have been 19. We have no clue. We just know that she was young, okay? And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee." Where's she getting her power? Where's Mary getting her power? The Lord. "Blessed art thou among moms." Is that what it says? "Blessed art thou among women." You're here today. You are a mom, a grandmom, not a mom. This is bigger than that, okay? In verse 34, she said, you know, so what does the angel? The angel says that, you know, you're gonna have a baby. In verse 34, she says, "How could such a thing happen? I'm young. I've never been with a man." But that's you know, she was a young girl, basically a peasant girl in a small, small town. But that's not all she was. She was so much more. The angel called her a blessed woman and revealed that God had a divine plan for her. And look at what happens next. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 37, it says, this is what the angel says. He says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So she says, how can this happen? I haven't known a man. And the angel reminds her, remember, with God nothing's impossible. And look at what Mary says. Behold the handmaid. Anybody know what a handmaid is? Basically, what's the most rudimentary term for it? Servant. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. The angel himself just called her blessed, but she recognizes that's because it's of God, and she says, behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She goes from an average, we'll call her a teenager, because she was somewhere in there. An average teenager in a small town, like everybody else. She went from that to being the mother of the Messiah. The one that God himself handpicked to put his son in her arms to care for until he was ready to go out and do his thing. Think about the impact. Think about the what had to take place in this young girl, the transformation that had to take place. Imagine if God popped up, ladies, imagine tomorrow God pops up to you and says, hey, you know, Messiah, you know, his second coming is very different. And nobody realized this, but his second coming is going to be like his first coming, and you're going to give birth. Now, some of you are like, are you kidding me? I'm way too old to give birth, okay? I'm way too tired to give birth. Or I already have too many kids. I already have kids I don't want. You all kinds of things. You could be saying all kinds of things right now, whatever the case may be. But imagine if God said that, and then God said to you, it's not just going to be any child. You're going to be carrying and then raising the Savior of the world. You're going to be carrying me, God in the flesh. And you're going to be tasked with raising God in the flesh. Imagine what would go through your mind if that happened to you. I mean, what would you, ladies, would that be a little daunting? Would that be maybe give you a little bit of anxiety? How many of you, it would completely freak you out? Yes, okay. But God didn't just pick anybody. He picked Mary and transformed her through faith, encouraged her through the angel, strengthened her faith, and she was able to do what God called her to do. And she made an impact and transformed lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Whoever you were before you came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are not that same person. It's still part of what makes you up, but you are something so different now. Whether you're a mom, grandma, whatever, daughter, son, father, whatever you are so much more than what you thought you were. You are now called and commissioned by the Creator of heaven and earth to make an impact for his kingdom. So, ladies, your role in God's divine plan is worthy of praise and honor. I want to talk just to the ladies for a second here. I know I've kind of tried to expand this so that we, you know, kind of it's for all of us, and it is. God's call for all of us. But I want to take a second for you moms and grandmoms, moms to be. Your part, ladies, in God's plan is as important as any other human being in all of history. And I don't say that to blow smoke. And I don't say that to give you anxiety or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, your part in God's plan is as important as anyone else's. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for what you do, because you're not just leading your children. And that's why I started with the two ladies that didn't have any children. They impacted others. And whether you come in and you smile and pick up one of the little ones that are always running around and you give them a hug, or whether you give them a smile, or whether you help out in the nursery, or whatever you are making a difference. You are making an impact. And I want to thank every single one of you for doing that. The Lord, the creator of the universe, has called you to be a critical part of his plan. There's no other way. As I was looking through this, I'm like that sound, is that really what God's, that is really, in the totality of scripture, that is what God has called us to do. You have a part in God's divine plan, an important part in God's divine plan. And ladies, if you ever feel like, I'm just, if you ever use that term just before anything, remember the God that called you. Remember the God that empowers you. Remember the God that has commissioned you to make an impact. Remember him. So ladies, I salute you. I want to wish you a happy birthday. We're inspired by you. We love you. And we are so thankful that you are here today. What's that? Okay, happy. Anybody having a birthday today? Is anybody having a birthday today? Please tell me. Does anybody know of anybody having a birthday today? Well, happy Mother's Day. It's actually, so I started off the service a little off when I forgot to turn my microphone off when I went out to the hallway. And my wife and Dylan came out and you know, they were like, oh, you know. And I was like, okay. And I thought, oh my goodness, I was just about ready to go to the bathroom too. Wow. It's like that old movie there, the airplane movie. I was like, oh, that could have been really, really bad. So anyway, let's go to the Lord for a moment of prayer. And let's get are we doing another song? Okay, let's go to the Lord for a moment of prayer, and then I'll give you announcements, and then everybody will go on their way to enjoy a wonderful day. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. We love you. We cherish you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for calling us. We thank you for empowering us. Lord, again, I ask for a special blessing on all the ladies, all the women. Like you said to Mary, blessed are you among women. So, Lord, this is for everybody. I thank you. I love you. I cherish you. Lord, I ask that you would continue to guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.